The following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the services of Sunday, August 5th, 2018. Thank you to Dennis and Heather Teets in memory of Jill Hines Reuger.
Good morning, everyone. How about a round of applause for our worship band who gets us up and at 'em on Sunday morning? Thank you all for leading us in worship and getting us up. Welcome to Holy Trinity this morning. I am Pastor Alicia. I'm joined in the front with Pastor Ben, my husband and colleague, and the worship band, as well as the worship support team. Thank you to all of you who are partaking this morning. Also, a special welcome to any of you who might be guests or visitors with us today. We're glad you're here. Please join us again, and please do introduce yourself to someone today as you worship. We also welcome those joining us in worship online or on K-Check Radio this morning. We're glad you are in worship with us also. Continue with our confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who forgives all our sin and whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Join me, please. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. May Almighty God strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith. Amen. Let us join in prayer together. O God, eternal goodness, immeasurable love, you place your gifts before us. We eat and are satisfied. Fill us and this world in all its need with the life that comes only from you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You can be seated for our special music this morning. Thank you.
A reading from Ephesians, the 4th chapter. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Here ends the reading.
Please stand as you're able. Our gospel this morning comes from Mark, the 4th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Again, he began to teach beside the sea. Such a very large crowd gathered around him that he got into a boat on the sea and sat there while the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. He began to teach them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seed fell into good soil, and brought forth grain growing up and increasing and yielding 30 and 60 and 100-fold. And Jesus said, let anyone with ears to hear listen. Here ends our reading. Thanks be to God. Well, if you want to follow along today, I'll invite you to take out those black Bibles in your chairs if you'd like to and turn to page 815. 815, we're going to be looking at, again, this story of the parable of the sower. Parable of the sower, page 815, and it's Mark chapter 4. Believe it or not, we've been in Mark all year. We're still only at chapter 4. But today, the story of the parable of the sower, I want you to be able to picture the setting first. So today, as we're talking, I want you to picture the coast of the Sea of Galilee. Many of us probably haven't been to the Holy Land or around the Sea of Galilee, but I want you to picture the edge of a body of water somewhere. So we're on the edge of the Sea of Galilee. That's the setting. And I want you to be able to know what's just happened. So Jesus hasn't been around too long, but in the first chapter, we know that Jesus called four of the first disciples, the fishermen. So Jesus called the first four disciples in chapter 1, verse about 16. And then after he called those first four disciples, if you page through the next couple of chapters to where we get to today in chapter 4, Jesus has been going around and doing some healings, some miracles. So you will see he healed one man with leprosy, the skin disease. Then he healed another person who was paralyzed. And then he healed yet somebody else with a withered hand. So again, Jesus hasn't been around very long. But as you can imagine, when he's doing these miracles, these crowds start to form around him. So he has this crowd around him, and just before what we read today, he gets away from this crowd, goes up to a mountain, and then announces who the 12 disciples are going to be. He announces who the 12 disciples are going to be. And when he's up on that mountain with the new 12 who are called, he says, I want you to do this. I want you to spend some time with me, and then I want you to go out and do my work. Then they come down from the mountain, and the crowds are so great around him that he has to get into a boat so he has some space to speak. Again, so you can picture the scene. We're getting pretty close to the Great Minnesota Get Together. Anybody ever been to a concert at the State Fair? Some of you? Okay. I want you to imagine going to the Minnesota State Fair and imagine the crowds gathered for one of these concerts. So maybe like this year you're waiting to hear Sugarland or the Beach Boys or Jason Mraz, and you're at an evening concert and the crowds are coming in. They're pouring in. The noise is getting higher and higher and people are fighting to get to the front. That's what's happening with Jesus right now. He comes down from this mountain, and the crowds are pushing in on him. Noise is rising. People are fighting to get to the front, and people are pressing so much he has to get out in a boat to start speaking. And I do think the noise was getting kind of high, because Jesus starts today. If you look at chapter 4 where we're reading today, the beginning of his speaking, at verse 3, he starts with the word, listen. Listen. People are so excited to hear him, he starts with the word, listen. And then he continues on with this famous parable. And he tells this parable about a sower, saying a sower went out to sow, or a farmer went out to plant. And the first seed fell on a path, and birds came and ate it up. And then he says, the second seed landed on rocky soil, and the sun scorched it, and it withered away. And then we read the third seed landed amid all these thorns that choked it. And finally, the fourth landed on good soil and brought forth a great response, in fact, 30, 60, or 100-fold. And then again at the end, if you look at this passage, at the very end of his speaking, you'll see at verse 9, read it with me if you're following along, and he said, let anyone with ears to hear, listen. Now, I want to tell you today, the thing about parables is that when preachers try to unpack them, every single sermon is an interpretation. Every sermon is an interpretation. And I've heard a number of sermons, good ones, on this parable that in some ways talk about what kind of soil we are. What kind of soil we are. Are we good soil or bad soil? Are we hardening to receive the gospel? Are we the 25% that are the true believers? Are we the majority who are opposed to the work of the gospel? Well, I hear something different today. As I read this passage today, there's one part that particularly sticks out to me, and that is the context of where Jesus' words are falling. Because as I mentioned before, if you look at verse 13, just a little bit before our parable today, Jesus has just, again, gone up to a mountain and announced who the 12 disciples who Jesus has called and named to be a part of his work were just named. And they were picked out of the blue. I wonder if they may have felt inadequate, unqualified, or ill-equipped in some way. I wonder if they might have felt unprepared, or maybe even that Jesus had made a mistake in calling their name. And maybe they meant a different Matthew. So today I want us to put ourselves in the shoes of the disciples hearing these words. Jesus has just called us to this important task. Now remember, Jesus is known as being a miracle worker right now, so Jesus is basically calling you and saying, I want you to help me work miracles. So I don't know about you, but if somebody doing miracles asked me to come and help in his work, I probably would have thought, are you kidding? There's no way I can do that. And that's why I think this parable is actually intended to be a word of encouragement to the disciples. Because I think we can easily get really defeated in life, feel that what we're doing just might be failing or isn't working, or we might just feel like we're immobilized because we just can't do what we're called to do. But I think these words are intended to move us to keep trying, to keep pushing ahead. And I want to give you some examples of why I think this. I've been looking at this book recently that I actually gave to my husband for his birthday or Christmas recently. But I've been looking at some of the pieces in this book, and there's this one particular section that has caught my eye, and it's actually titled, the book is titled Originals, How Nonconformists Move the World. And I don't know how well you know my husband, but it's a great fit for him. But anyway, there's a particular piece of the book that's titled Kissing Frogs. And I think it has something to say to our text today, believe it or not. It's not a religious book, but I think it says something about what we're reading. And the premise of this section is that sometimes it takes kissing a lot of frogs in life to find a prince. And it refers to many people who've made a big moving difference in the world, but it tells the story about how we'd miss the full picture if we didn't first acknowledge that it may have taken a lot of fails first, or it may have at least taken a lot of tries for them to get to that success. So the section starts stating, the odds of producing an influential or successful idea are a positive function of the total number of ideas generated. Basically, the more you try, the more likely you are to find something that succeeds. And a few examples that are given in here come from various fields, like Maya Angelou. How many of you know one of her famous pieces? Right? Probably Still I Rise, if you know one. Maybe that's the one you know. But in poetry, when we recite her classic Still I Rise, we forget sometimes that she wrote 165 others we don't acknowledge. So she's one example. Another example might be Mozart or Beethoven or Bach, especially when we're listening to piano today. But when the London Philharmonic Orchestra chose 50 of the greatest classical pieces, the list only included 6 from Mozart, 5 by Beethoven, and 3 by Bach. And to get to those few masterworks, Mozart composed more than 600, Beethoven produced 650, and Bach produced over 1,000. To get only a few that we point out. And then there's one other, famous Thomas Edison. Between the ages of 30 and 35, Edison pioneered the light bulb, as we know, and the phonograph and the carbon telephone, but during that period, he also filed over 100 patents for other inventions that we don't hear about. Things like stencil pens and a fruit preservation technique and a way of using magnets to mine iron ore. And I think he's got one of the best quotes for today. Here's what he said. Thomas Edison said, "I have not failed. I have simply found 10,000 ways that won't work." And while, again, this is not a religious book at all, I think it can speak to the powerful words of Jesus today and what they say about our life. Because if I were in the shoes of the disciples, I believe I would have heard these famous words from Jesus as this piece of encouragement to them, saying basically, try, 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 and try again. And I might have heard these words as permission giving, to try knowing if Jesus says some of the ideas aren't going to work, they're not. In fact, it might take 3 fails before 1 success ever happens. And I want to wonder today, what if Jesus was saying to those disciples, those new 12 disciples, metaphorically, you might just have to kiss a lot of frogs before you get to a prince. You may try to heal people, but the first 3 might not work. You may try to teach people and get frustrated that you don't succeed. But Jesus tells the disciples, keep trying. Don't give up, because at some point it'll hit good soil. Keep throwing out those seeds, because the results sometimes, even at the 4th try, might be 30 or 60 or even 100-fold after failing. So what does that mean for us? If that's the disciples, what does that mean for us? Well, I believe that you and I are called in the same way as those 12 newbie disciples. We might feel that if Jesus called out our name today to go up to a mountain, to be set apart, we might feel, really, Jesus, you want me? I know I felt that way. But today we get a passage where Jesus says to the newbie disciples, don't expect it to always go well. In fact, I'm telling you, it won't. But keep trying, it'll be worth it. So maybe you've tried raising your child in the church, and maybe now they want nothing to do with it. And it might be easy to say, you know, they're just thorny soil. But today we hear a message that says, don't get discouraged. They might just get it or need it the next time you say the word of grace. Or if you volunteered to help with Sunday school, and the first few times it felt like an absolute disaster, the kids missed the point altogether, don't give up. Try again. Or if you signed up for special music and it didn't go as well as it went for Nevaeh today, you got nervous and you messed up, I think Jesus might be saying, try again. Your breakthrough success story might just be around the corner. We're each called to be disciples. But today's parable gives us permission to acknowledge that it's not always going to go perfectly. We're going to make mistakes. And we may think it'd just be easier for Jesus to ask somebody else. But just like Bach had to write over 1,000 pieces of classical music to produce a few of the greatest pieces of all time, so too Jesus gives us permission to make mistakes in our kingdom work. And he says, believe me, it's worth it. Keep trying. So whether you're sharing your faith with your family and friends, or you're teaching Sunday school or leading worship or inviting people to a church event, Jesus doesn't expect a perfect outcome. He just wants us to be a part of the process. And sometimes it takes a lot of tries before something works. I'm talking to you. He says, listen up. Hear God's words of encouragement today to keep trying. Because we worship a God who never gives up on us. And a God who doesn't expect us to always plant seeds in good soil. So let's give each other permission to try things, make mistakes, kiss some frogs. Sooner or later, we might just find some good soil that will produce 100-fold. Amen. Join together now and pray the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you this day and keep you always in God's grace, now and forever. Amen. As you go on your way today, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord look upon you with favor and give you God's peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.